girls only want boyfriends who have great skills. You know, like nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills.
How was school?
Worst day of my life? What do you think? Idiot! What kind of bike do you have?
It's a sledgehammer.
Dang! You ever take it off any sweet jumps?
What are you drawing?
A liger.
What's a liger?
It's my favorite animal. It's like a lion and a tiger mixed.
Why are you so sweaty? I've been practicing.
98.1 KZE. Welcome back to the Midday Show. I'm really having a great time already before even we went on the air. I'm talking to the cast, pinch me, I'm talking to the cast of Napoleon Dynamite. I've got John Heater here, I've got John Grimes, and I've got Ephraim Ramirez here. And they are going to be participating at an event at the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston on Sunday, September 21st, of course, called Napoleon Dynamite Live, 20th Anniversary Celebration. And it's I'm so glad to have the original cast here on KZE. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, amazing. I got to ask you, it sounds like from the stuff we were talking about before we started that you guys have been connecting over the years. I'm not sure. Obviously, you haven't had other 20th anniversaries, but have you done other anniversary events and
18,
reunions?
19, 20.
Oh, my God. Once. Yeah, it's
constant. We kind of started.
John Heater talking. Yeah.
We kind of started on the 15th anniversary, unofficially, just started doing these, you know, a couple of years ago. And then, you know, COVID came in and we stopped for a little while and then we picked it back up a couple of years ago. So, yeah, we've definitely reconnected over the last 5-6 years. And now we can't get enough of each other.
So you've been going on for quite a bit, but especially the last 5 years, it sounds like.
Pretty much.
I mean, we really hadn't done, like we would see each other, we saw each other for the 10-year anniversary. And then we, you know, little whatever rando kind of like events, but these shows that we're doing, the show we'll be doing in Kingston is kind of a show that we created, that we started doing about 5 years ago, and it's you know, it's morphed and changed and gone through different iterations, and you know, we're very proud of it. We have a ton of fun. And we, you know, we want people to come to these shows because it's a lot of fun. I mean, we really like, it's a great family show. I think that's kind of again, almost, you know, what we weren't expecting when we shot the movie. We didn't know this would become a family film. We honestly thought this is just more like an indie cult film for weird audiences and film goers.
Exactly,
but we didn't, you know, we didn't think families of all generations, anywhere from 6 years old to 106 years old. And that's the same thing with these live shows that we do. It's very fun.
You couldn't have anticipated back in, you know, 20 years ago that the guys that all the generation that fell in love with the film would be middle-aged parents, you know, and then it becomes like a family friend because it becomes a nostalgia thing for those folks, right? And then their kids get into it because it's a funny, engaging movie. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry, John.
I was just going to say it's more interactive than just sitting around and, you know, telling. We do have moments where we tell stories and they're behind the scenes stories, but overall, it's much more engaged with the audience and a lot of hijinks.
Hijinks.
Right. In the description of the event, it says here you'll get a full screening of Napoleon Dynamite, followed by a lively, freewheeling discussion with fan favorite cast members. That says to me, totally unplanned, and you're just kind of making it up as you go along. Nothing planned.
Well,
I'm kidding around a little bit. But
when we first started to do these things, we had a moderator, and it was quite pretty much a disconnection with the audience. It was just a Q&A. But then it became something else. I think the minute Heater decided to kick out the moderator, and it
smart.
And I mean, we're actors, so once you give three actors a blank clean stage, we just decided to take over, and it became something else where we started to dress the stage and we started to really get involved and get connected with the audience by getting them involved onto what we did on stage. Sometimes we would ask them to come up on stage and reenact some of the scenes, or because the audience is dressed, most of the audience are dressed up as the characters of Napoleon Dynamite. We're all so involved
Really?
with each other and really talk about the experience of not only working on the film, but what it has gone through over the years. So it's pretty surprising, pretty fun.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, I mean, at the time you could not have known, like you said, John Heder, you said it was a just an indie film. You thought you were going to offbeat indie film you were getting. Nobody knows they're making a phenomenon. Can you guys talk a little bit about how you were cast in the film? Because even though I'm going to be cautious how I say this, but this really put all three of you on the map, right? I mean, is it safe to say that?
I think, John, was everybody knew who he was. It's like we were like, oh yeah, he's got a, all these
Oh,
things
sure.
under his belt. I mean, you speak to that, John. I don't know. It's interesting from my perspective, seeing it through your eyes, it's kind of cool. Like, here's this guy, this actor who's done a lot of these things beforehand and has worked on so many projects throughout his career. But I mean, you tell us, John, is this, what you're most known for, or, is
Not
it the
include
thing?
and John, we know you. I think you, I read that you're in a relatively new series called The Orange POTUS. Is that what it's called? Thank you, thank you. That was kind.
That
That
was good. Yeah, I just, as long as I'm not the orange guy. Anyway,
kind.
but I would say, for me, yeah, I would say this was a turning point. I mean, I think that, when this came, I don't know, I never viewed it from a perch. Every time I approach a project, if it comes, I feel lucky to have it, or lucky to have the opportunity. And so, I don't. I think that's one of the reasons why I ended up doing Napoleon Dynamite, because as we know, a lot of people were offered the role before me. And for whatever reason, whether their agents were creating a barrier or whether they just didn't want to read it or because there was no money in it, they just didn't bother looking at it. And that's really to my benefit that I guess my attitude has always been, hey, you're only as good as the last thing you've done. And so while you're waiting for something else to come along, you read everything you can. And granted, a lot of things you just say no. But when this screenplay landed before me and it was an actual offer, I was ecstatic. I loved the
No.
role right away. I was reading it, and I loved the way the screenplay was written. It was so beautifully written. That there, what you see on this screen is really what was on paper, and so that in and of itself is qu quite extraordinary,
Efren, do you remember getting cast?
Yeah, I was working on a series, and it's funny, you're as a young actor, you just want to audition for everything and anything, and I end up getting an audition for a big feature film, and then Napoleon Dynamite. And so, I didn't, I wasn't able to get a hold of the script. I was able to just to get pages. And so, I read, the pages from Napoleon Dynamite. It was so like, it was so left field. I was wondering what the heck was this? So, but I just wanted it to work. And so when I got the part of Napoleon Dynamite, I thought like, okay, I really didn't know what it meant, and I just thought like, all right, you do the best work that you can, you hope you don't fail everybody, and and so to play a character like Pedro and to play with all these guys, it was interesting working my first day, because my first day I was able to meet John Heder and Cass and John Grice and Chandrella and Anne Rule. And I saw them dressed up as their characters, and I thought like, okay, I wasn't so sure that I made the right choice of having to work on Napoleon Dynamite, because these characters are so uniquely different. And I thought like, Well, here goes nothing. I hope you like me. So, I never thought about like the end result of it, and to my surprise, even after 21 years, how dynamic these characters and this story is, especially today, because there's no special effects. There's no green screens. All we have is each other, and it's about a guy who's just trying to figure life out.
Well, I've been talking with John Heater, Efrain Ramirez, and John Grice, who are going to be getting together for a reunion at Napoleon Dynamite Live 20th anniversary at the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston on Sunday. That's Sunday, September 21st, in the evening. I didn't write down the time, but it's in the evening.
No, it's a
Probably
7:30 a.m. show.
7:30.
You guys got to wake up early
Wouldn't
Sunday
that's
morning.
right. It is. You said it's for
Two
families. The kids are
Holocausts.
already up. For one last round here, if there was a moment where you realized that this film was a phenomenon, I don't know, like something in terms of like if that this was having an impact, anything that comes to mind at all.
I think for all of us, I think, I was lucky enough when the film was being cut, Jeremy Kuhn, who was the producer and the editor of the film, was here in Los Angeles, and Jared Hess was in Salt Lake City, and Jared Hess would come in every week and or sometimes every 5 days or whatever, and give him notes, and then he'd go back to cutting, and then he was kind of losing his mind in the editing room. And so I would go over and sit with him, and we would just discuss the film over and over and over again. But being that close to it was hard to really, I mean, I could see how cool it was shaping up, and he was really doing a wonderful job as an editor. And then didn't really know for certain. I mean, I remember we had a couple of people come by and look at the film as potential, somebody to make the poster or somebody maybe to possibly audition for to do the music, which ended up being, it wasn't the person who ended up doing it, with John Swihart, who was so good, amazing. But until we saw it on the screen at Sundance, I think that was the moment where we all kind of looked at each other and went, wow. Because when we first got to Sundance, literally, we were hustling the film like anybody else at a film festival. We're walking around the downtown area, the little downtown area of Sundance, handing out flyers and buttons and God knows what we had made to promote. Because you still got to hustle people to get them in. And then the next thing you know, we go to the Eccles Center, which is huge. And there's a line like a quarter mile long, and those are people just waiting for cancellations. So we were
That's
like,
amazing.
that was kind of a shocker. I think that was the first shocker. And then to see the audience reaction when we were sitting in the theater, we were all kind of like, oh my God, we were completely thrown, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, again, thank you so much, and hopefully see you in September.
Yeah, cool.
All right, guys. Thank you
Great.
very much.
All right. Have a
Let you
lovely day.
go. You
Thanks,
too.
man.
Have
Later,
a
guys.
great day, you guys.
Bye.
You too.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.